Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Because we're back, you're back. And
what if they never left?
We're all back.
What if they were just sitting by the radio going like, man, when's this news break coming in?
Hopefully that's what they were doing. Okay. That's our, you know, most
deepest
design.
Don't come back. Just wait for me there.
Yes. But now, and now we're announcing, of course, that okay. We're back, and so
we're back.
They're back as well. Instead of being in that state of waiting, they're back as a state of a listener now.
Hold tight. We'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial.
Right.
Kids don't even know what a dial is. Don't touch that app.
Don't press that touchscreen any harder than you have to.
The telephone number here in the studio, if you would like to call in and join us tonight, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's...
Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
And I am the Reverend Captain Kickass. I want to say thank you to Jake Leonard. Sorry, Jake. You have two first names. I don't trust you. But at any rate... Jake Leonard is a platinum subscriber to the AMPS program. Advertise, market, promote, and support is what AMPS stands for. What is the AMPS program, you might ask? Well, go over to amps.freetalklive.com, and you can find out all about all the details about the AMPS program. It's sort of a Patreon-like setup. You can contribute a sum of money. We only ask for $5 a month. Some people give more, like Jake Leonard. He's a platinum subscriber. I believe that means he gets $50. Or is it $25?
I thought it was $25.
It's 5,
10.
10, and 25, right, yeah. Platinum is 25. But there are levels above that you can go as well. I think there's a...
Way to call him out for not being a level above that.
Diamond level. I'm just saying he can aspire to more, you know. but he is currently a contributor, which means he enjoys the show, the hosts, the co-hosts, the perspective of liberty, peace, and prosperity that we bring here on Free Talk Live 7 nights a week from 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. So thank you again, Jake Leonard. We appreciate you. If you would like to become an amplifier like Jake Leonard, please visit amps.freetalklive.com. All right. So we titled the show Robots, Music, and Grub. And we've talked a whole lot about robots, in fact.
And grub. We started with McCowers.
We did. So let's get some music in here. This from goodnewsnetwork.org. The Lullaby Project connects mothers behind bars with their babies, helping them write original lullabies. Nikki, what's a lullaby?
Rock-a-bye, baby.
That's an example
on the treetop.
But can you define lullaby?
So a lullaby is a song sung to children to help them go to sleep.
Oh, all right. University music students are working with new mothers who are incarcerated to compose heartfelt musical messages for their children, a partnership aptly titled the Lullaby Project. Although concrete and steel bars separate the new moms at Camille Graham Correctional Institution from their babies, students use music to break down those barriers.
You know, ironically, with some of the macabre topics that lullabies already cover,
mm-hmm.
this might not be inappropriate.
That's true, yeah.
Huh. You know, Richie Rich, you're really living up to your number two seating here at Free Talk
Live.
Emphasis on the number two. I'm just kidding.
The number two story.
Number two story continues. Nice callback. Yeah. The musicians studying at the University of South Carolina are helping to foster family intimacy despite the distances between parent and child, thanks to Carnegie Hall and its Wheel Music Institute. No amount of training could truly prepare us for how impactful this project is, said USC grad student Alyssa Santavanes, who has been co-writing original lullabies for the project. It's one thing to learn about how to create alone and how to put everything together, and another thing to really be there with the women and work with them. It just means so much. Alexis, an inmate benefiting from the Lullaby Project, said, "I get sad so much not being around him, so just knowing that he's going to be able to hear something that I wrote word for word, it's amazing. It's amazing because I just wish I was there, but this is something for him to hold on to. It's an amazing feeling. It kind of makes me feel accomplished to be able to write a song, and he's going to be able to hear it." So
everyone gets 16 bars. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't necessarily unheard of. One of the, we were just talking during the break, there's a not metal band that I like a whole bunch called Snarky Puppy. They are, I guess, considered smooth jazz, modern jazz at least. But, you know, they're not incomprehensible jazz. They have, you know, very groovy beats and all that kind of thing. So
very modern.
Very modern, yeah. They got a great beat and I can dance to it. I give them a 9. Anyway.
So not jazz at all.
Sort of. Like, there's no singer.
Okay.
It's instrumental, yeah.
So it's all instrumental, and they're great. They're a phenomenal band. They did something that I only wish I had the money to accomplish when I was doing bands. When they go out and play a show, I don't know if they're still doing this, but when I saw them last, they go out, they play a show, they multi-track record the entire show. So if you bought tickets to, like, their show in Concord, New Hampshire, and you went, as a condition of having a ticket in your possession, you can go to their website after the show is over, like a week or so after, and put your ticket number, whatever the serial number is of the ticket, you put that into their website, and then you can download a professionally mixed and mastered recording of the show that you attended for like $10.
Okay, no, that's kind of cool.
Personalizing the music to the event, right? So if they do a 20-city tour, that's 20 albums, if you will, worth of musical material. But each album is tied specifically to one show, personalizing it to whoever bought a ticket to that show.
Less likely to pirate, I would imagine, as well.
But no, it's like music is taken on this thing because nobody really buys albums or CDs, so it's all virtual now, and everybody's got a Spotify and a listen. So, like, album sales don't really happen. You might still sell MP3s, but really all the money coming from music is from royalties for play on internet stations, that kind of thing. So most bands have had to become glorified T-shirt companies to make it go. They get money from the ticket sales at the shows, and then most of their profit comes from merchandise sales, T-shirts and hats and, you know, whatever else, coats and hoodies and lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Like Kiss, for example, has a coffin.
Oh my gosh, literally everything.
You can buy a Kiss coffin and be buried in, and like, it's got speakers on it, so you can be cranking Kiss as the coffin is lowered into the, like, it's,
he understands capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, alarm clocks, toasters, you name it, Kiss has got it.
So at any rate, personalizing the experience, I think, is the next evolution for music, and this seems to be a continuation of that, because they're taking, you know, women who are in prison, but they have kids outside of prison, and giving them the gift of expression to their children, so their children at least know that their parents love them. Yeah. Right, and to me, that is an incredible thing to give to your kids.
Well, and I think they have those bears nowadays. They probably have it with other things as well, but I've seen these teddy bears where you can either record a voice message into, so you can be like, oh, mommy loves you, whatever, or sing a song into it, and the kids can replay it, like if they're at grandma and grandpa's house and they get scared or, you know, whatever, they went on a field trip.
Yeah.
They can press a button on the bear and hear their parents' voice.
Yeah. Yep, so. That's a comfort device.
Yeah.
It's different than putting a cassette of Motley Crue's Shed of the Devil into a Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah. Which, yes, I have done. It's hilarious. I know there's a bunch of listeners going, what's a cassette? What's a Teddy Ruxpin? Just go look those up.
Google that.
Yeah.
That Teddy Ruxpin's got to be like hot ticket on the aftermarket now, man.
You got to think, right? I imagine.
Number one, the cassettes are probably all screwed up.
Yeah. Well, it was a player, right? But, like, it came with a cassette.
Well, yeah, but, like, if you had, like, an original Teddy Ruxpin cassette that's still played.
Yeah, that's got to be worth something on the old eBay.
That's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah, I'm with you. Claire Bryant, USC Assistant Professor of Cello, says, this is a very special project and process. I personally have worked in corrections for the past 10 years through music, and I think music can do a lot of good for all of us, no matter our circumstance. But especially incarcerated people, I think, need the chance with some positive programming.
Rock-a-bye baby on the tree.
Rock-a-bye baby!
I only shanked one chick on the C block.
On the C block.
Carry on.
When the lunch bell, the... What are the doors? The doors will open.
The bars.
Yeah. Okay, so since we've hit a place,
all right,
let's go to David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
That was the place. Sure,
play Weenie Ride by Steel Panther.
Like, when I first heard Steel Panther, I was like, oh, God, I hate this kind of music. But then I listened to the lyrics, and
I love this kind of music.
These guys are amazing.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Captain has mentioned that before on the air, or at least in private to me. Because I don't listen to music, but I recognize that name.
Well, I got reminded, though, because I was listening to the Hillbilly Radio Outlaws today.
Okay.
The replay, they're live every Saturday, and they were playing that as bumper music. They play the full song for bumper music, yeah.
Have you seen
what?
Have you seen Steel Panther live?
No, man, I have not had the pleasure.
If they come to town or anywhere near you, man, I recommend it. It's fun.
Yeah, I bet. And Nikki, no kid ever gets scared at Grandpa and Grandma's house. It's like, that's like a vacation to get away from mom and dad. There's nothing but good.
You know how some kids are. They're super, like, attached to their mom and obsessed and very, like, codependent.
Throwback from another day.
And, what?
What do you mean, Richie?
I've never seen any kid be anything but...
talking about this at all tonight.
Just a minute ago.
Just a minute ago. With the teddy bears, with the recording.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
I use the example if they go to Grandma and Grandpa's house and they're scared.
All right.
I mean, typically, no, Grandma and Grandpa's house is always, like, the fun place. But every once in a while, you'll get that kid that's, like, just super attached to their mom and, like, way too codependent.
So, like, I was living with a particular set of parental units, and everything was, like, microwaved. I have several sets of parents, David, that's why I specify. This particular memory that I have was, like, the house I was living in, like, everything was, like, sort of, you know, early to mid-80s modern. There was a microwave. If dinner was being served, it was at like, the family size Encore, you know, Salisbury steaks and, you know, that kind of a thing. And so then they would send me off to my grandparents' place. Now, my grandparents were, like, Depression-era people. So I remember being very specifically scared because my grandfather was cutting heads off chickens. You know, I got to watch that, you know, as a child and that kind of thing. And then there was another time, probably within a year or so of that, where they had
What soundtrack was playing in the background?
Oh, Slayer, Rain and Blood, of course. Both times, actually, because the next, I think it might have been the next year or the next time I had to get shuffled off to the grandparents' house, it was deer season, and they had shot and killed a deer and gutted it and drug it into the garage, and that's where
D-E-E-R?
D-E-E-R, yes, deer, not D-E-A-R. But deer hunting.
Deer?
They caught, 11 point buck or 12 point, something like that. Yeah, killed a Bambi, gutted it, and it was hanging in the garage, and I was watching, like, my grandfather with some, like,
in the living room.
Some gloves on, like, pulling, like, pieces of guts and internal organs outside of the carcass and, like, getting ready to skin the fur off of the deer. And so, like, but that was a little scary because Grandpa's all covered in blood with, like, a giant sharp cleaver in his hand. I'm like, oh,
Scary. Deer have hair, not fur.
Huh?
Okay.
Deer have hair, not fur. Just a technicality. Oh, hey, thanks for the memories.
Yeah, you're welcome, David. Thanks for the call. 603-283-6160 is the number if you'd like to join us. Let's go to unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Hey, it's Tim from Porter.
Hey, Tim. What's on your mind? You're live on the air.
Hey, Captain. I think this is the first time I called when you were in first chair.
Oh, nice.
I just smoked some really good weed. I can't remember what I called, but so
make something up.
Normally, I listen to Beard Talk Live when I'm at work on the weekends, doing filling the beer cooler, soda cooler, et cetera.
Gotcha.
So I listened to it today, and I think. Nobody was on fire. That was one of the most enlightening episodes of Beard Talk Live I have heard.
Thanks, man. Yeah, he was in rare form. Nobody will do from time to time these rants that are unlike anything anybody else does. I think he did like four or five of them in the course of the 3-hour show.
I can't wait to get around to it.
Yeah, he was on fire for sure. Do you have
I just want to say you got a great show at Beard Talk Live going, and originally Free Talk Live was a Sunday only show in Florida.
Right. Not every station plays us 7 nights a week. Some will pick and choose days. Some will play us, like when we're not live, they'll play a recorded version of us. So people will try calling when it's not appropriate for them to call and that kind of a thing. So I'm glad you caught us on this day. I got to ask, Tim, since you're listening to Beard Talk Live, have you bought a Beard Talk Live t-shirt?
On the spot.
Not yet. Recently, about a week ago, I realized that you can actually, I was trying to figure out how to call in. And it was the night that I guess the video wasn't on, so I was really confused, and I had no idea if you were live or not. Mm. It might have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you got to work in video chat for callers who have a shirt on.
But it's the same phone number, right?
It is same phone number. Beard Talk Live is live Saturday nights from 10:30 until 1:30 Eastern time.
Special video call-in line for t-shirts.
Yeah, we don't have that yet. But if you do buy a t-shirt, take a photo of it, and we'll react to it online, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'll get a shirt. And, the number one thing I took away from last night's show was that, you know, basically it's kind of the same concept as what happened to downloads as far as movie and music. You know, most people don't torrent anymore, but people still do torrent.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we
do.
Are streaming and paying for the service, yes. But so it's just going to drive it, it's just going to drive people out of the system that don't want to be in the system, that's all. So we've all got choices to make, and, man, great show, and I'm going to get off here.
Awesome. Hey, Tim, thanks for the call. We appreciate you, man.
Depends on what you're trying to do, right? I torrent multiple movies a day. Right, as part of my like daily routine, like the new releases that come out, I was like, bam, I hit the torrent.
Yeah.
But I've also recently subscribed to like ESPN Plus to watch all the XFL football games because I wanted to watch those live.
I see, yeah.
So, I mean, for the season and beyond, but I, you know.
So, like, it's no secret that I still follow the NFL, although being that I'm on the Sunday night show, generally that's when the live football games are happening. If I happen to want to watch a game before the show, or if a game's going on after the show, I know of places I can go to watch the live version of it, albeit mostly in a reduced quality format on video. But you still get to see it live, and then I subscribed to I think it's called the NFL Plus.
Okay.
Where, like an hour or so after the games are over, so I think you actually have to wait until Monday night for the last game to be over for that week.
Okay.
So Tuesday morning, you can watch all of the games that happened the whole weekend before it, no matter what conference or division or whatever. You just watch them all. And you can watch them commercial-free. You can watch the condensed version, all that kind of stuff. And I think I got in for like $80 for the year.
See, that's the difference, though. To watch it like 2 days later, I would probably see if the torrent was available.
Yes.
I'll pay for live if live is important.
If I wish to own the file of a game or like a team's whole season that year, I will go and search that out so that I can have, you know, the game from that week for that team and kind of thing in a folder, and I go back and watch them years later. I will do that, but I will use the replay service to watch it, a very high-quality, commercial-free, and condensed game. Sometimes, I don't want to watch a whole three-hour game, right? But, like, I could spend an hour.
Okay.
And so they condense these things into, like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And you get to see most of the plays. It's almost all of the plays. They cut out the commercials, they cut out the timeouts, cut out the huddle.
Only the live snaps.
And you got to really pay attention, though, because it, like, moves pretty briskly. So I think that there's use in all of these scenarios, right? I don't know how to monetize or how, like, these companies could have successfully monetized free downloading, torrenting, right?
Well, the sites that do it are, like, ad-supported in some form or fashion.
They are, but I'm saying, like
tips.
But I'm saying, like, I think the businesses, like the NFL, for example, I think they missed out on an opportunity. They could have released all of their games download style for, you know, X amount of dollars, you know, per month or per year or whatever.
I'm sure a ton of people would love that.
Or they could have released them for free, but then had ads embedded, right? Just like regular television used to have ads every so often, right? They could have, and like that would have been like a premium tier to charge their sponsors. Like, hey, do you also want to advertise on our free download? Yes, I do. Here we go.
And the torrent is just the technology, right? So they could have hidden the torrent link behind the paywall initially,
right?
It'll leak into the wild at some point,
right?
Right, but we're going to torrent this. You know, the preferred method of download is going to be torrent. You pay to get to that link initially.
Like, the other thing that I don't understand, particularly about television companies, was the ability to stream a video live on your own website has been around for a long time. Now, at first, it was a question of capacity. How many viewers can we handle at a time? But that's also, like, at least a decade ago, been overcome. Capacity is not a thing. So if I were, like, NBC, CBS, Fox, you know, any of the big networks, I would have just put up Fox.com, for example. I would have just put up, like, whatever the national feed was, whether that's an Eastern feed or a Midwest feed. I don't care. I'd have just put something up. So then when somebody goes there, it's just playing Fox content, like, as if you were watching TV. And then you could scroll and find out all the links to all the other stuff, right? It would just have been like, here's what we're playing right now.
So capacity and bandwidth.
Yeah.
So... They're probably still paying for the bandwidth to stream the videos on their own site.
Sure.
Whereas if you outsource it to YouTube or another player,
then they're paying
for bandwidth.
So I had A&E because I liked to watch Intervention. And in order to watch the episodes, you needed to plug in the information for your cable subscriber.
Right.
Or whatever.
That's typical.
So I don't know if that's why they don't want to just put it on their website. Oh, we're playing random shows.
Well,
because you need to have cable to be able to access it or something.
What they're doing is they're trying to trickle money, right? And so you see this with the advent of all these subscription services, right? Now everybody, like, it started out Netflix.
Yeah.
They were the only one, right? Then all of a sudden, you know, other
Hulu.
The Hulu streaming services came around. Now CBS has got one.
Oh, yeah, Paramount has one, UPN, HBO.
Right, yeah, everybody's got their own. And so now, like, if you wanted to watch all that programming, you would be spending, like, 10 times the amount of money you would spend just to have a cable subscription.
Or just torrent it.
Torrenting, of course, no cost to you. I do recommend you use a VPN.
Yes, almost guaranteed. You got to use a VPN.
Unless you want, you know, your ISP to be mad at you.
Ah, but what happens when the Restrict Act goes into place and they stop you from using a VPN?
Then their technology will figure out a way around that, too.
Okay. I'm glad you're confident.
I am confident, actually. Yeah.
You said they won't? You don't think they're going to pass the Restrict Act?
I mean, it's just crazy for me because I literally need to use a VPN for work.
Yeah.
Right.
Because to be compliant with HIPAA laws.
Right.
So I just don't know what they want me to do.
Hungry, hungry HIPAA.
Catch 22, man. Either way, you're screwed.
Yep.
603-283-6160. That's the phone number if you'd like to join us. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and six kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. Folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. A major storm system that slammed a large part of the country now has communities on the path to cleaning up. 30 lives were lost during the raging tornadoes. 13 were killed in Tennessee. A tornado watch is in effect for most of North Texas, a similar one in effect for parts of southern Oklahoma. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton says there's kind of rough justice in the indictment of former President Trump.
It's deeply ironic that a person who spent a good part of his 4 years in the White House trying to weaponize the Justice Department against his political enemies is now saying he's the victim of persecution.
Appearing on CBS's Face the Nation, Bolton described it as a what goes around comes around moment. The LSU Tigers are the champions of women's college basketball, beating the Iowa Hawkeyes 102-85 today. Dave Collins, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's the final half hour of the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. The telephone number, if you'd like to join us, 603-283-6160. There's still time for you. Talk about whatever you want. We're talking about a bunch of different stuff. We got something else we want to talk about. We get to your calls. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
It's Nikki.
And Rich.
Free Talk Live listeners, we are asking you for a favor. As you probably already know, Ian Freeman, the show's founder, was recently convicted of various victimless crimes, and he's facing up to 20 years in prison. We can argue all day as to if the jury was mistaken. That's not going to get us anywhere now. What will be helpful is for you to write a letter to the Honorable Joseph LaPlante about Ian's character, how he helps the community, and why you think he deserves a light sentence. Also, saying things about yourself that give your opinion weight with the government helps. So if you held office, you had a stellar career, a volunteer, your former military, or even current military, that would be something you would want to mention. Ian is a selfless guy that has always tried to do what he thinks is right, and it would be a tragedy if he had to spend any time in prison at all. We do need these letters quickly, so don't put it off. Send your letter to 63 Emerald Street, number 610, Keene, New Hampshire, 034 3-1. If you didn't get to write that all down, that's fine. The info you need to send the letter is at letters.freetalklive.com. Again, letters.freetalklive.com. We appreciate the letters that we've received and the letters that are forthcoming. All right. We titled tonight's show Robots, Music, and Grub. We talked about the McLayoffs and the McCowardice of the Mick industry, that they're trying to, you know, just send people an email and tell them you're fired.
Well, you assumed that. That wasn't
he did assume.
And you know what happens when you assume things?
An assumption is made.
That's right. And we talked a bit about the robots, of course. We just did a bit on the lullabies for mothers who are in prison, where they're writing songs to give to their children so that the kids know that, you know, mom loves them. I think that's important. But we have this from ScienceDaily.com. Turn up your favorite song to improve medication efficacy. Now, being a rock and roll, heavy metal type musician, I've always known that if you want your drugs to be better, you got to crank up the tunes. And so
absolutely.
This article
and
seems...
taken with alcohol.
Well, okay. You know.
Depends what you're into.
Alcohol is a drug. Technically, alcohol is a solution. So if you're looking for a solution,
yeah,
alcohol might be it. Might not.
Just think of the little bottle of medication. Don't take with alcohol, yeah. Operate heavy machinery, or listen to heavy metal music.
Or right? Music at all, right?
Or whatever.
We'll talk more about this article, but first let's go to Sarah in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, I just want to bring up, did you know that you could use essential oils, and it's an insecticide? There's many natural oils that work to get rid of insects around your house.
Sarah, when I first met Nikki, I obtained a bottle of all-natural mosquito repellent.
Oh, yep.
Ooh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I know where, yes.
Okay.
Did you drink it like Ernie Hancock?
Please don't.
No, I bathed in it.
Okay.
Did Ernie really?
Oh, yeah.
He sprayed some in his mouth at a pork fest.
Oh, no.
When a reporter was there. Oh. Like, oh, look at this all natural stuff. I was like, yeah, look at it.
No, actually what I did is I poured it out into a circle and then drew a pentagram with it in the middle, and I set it on fire, and then I stood in the middle of it, and guess what? I didn't get any mosquito bites for that 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So what's the concoction? And how did you get that recipe?
Yeah, Nikki, what's the concoction?
It's like 10 different essential oils. It's like lemongrass, eucalyptus. I don't know. I can't think of everything off the top of my head. Yeah, I'll do like coconut oil and rubbing alcohol and then water.
Uh-huh.
It's mostly water.
Mostly water. And then do you have other essential oils? Did you put like tea tree oil in there?
Yeah, I think there's tea tree oil in there. Yeah, there's 10 different essential oils that I put in there. And it actually works pretty well for getting rid of mosquitoes. It's also good for like ticks. I don't know, any other flying creatures that bite you.
It works also on like scabies. What about like lice? What about the like citrus oils like lemon?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the big one. Citronella. There's citronella in there too. I make it with and without because that's one of those scents that some people don't like.
Mm.
But it works really well for mosquitoes.
Okay, so where did you get that recipe from?
Where
was it on the internet?
I just Googled it.
Where can Sarah buy some of this mosquito repellent from you, Nikki?
I don't sell it online. Oh, if you come to Porkfest, Sarah, I'll be selling it there.
Bam.
Wait, but are you allowed to market that? I mean, is the...
Porkfest? Hell yeah.
Whatever you want.
Wait a minute. Doesn't somebody have a copyright to that formula or something?
No. I don't believe in intellectual property, so I didn't care if they did anyways.
You know what? The thing is that if you're not cutting into the market, even if they made the formula, they can't come after you. It's like whoever made that concoction, they say, hey, wait a minute. They're buying from you, and they're not supposed to be buying from me unless they want to come after you. You can do whatever you want, right?
I mean, I use a lot. I make a lot of my own stuff. I make my own lotion and whatever else. People rarely will put patents or trademarks or whatever they call it on, like, natural remedies.
Yeah.
And especially, like, a lot of this stuff has been passed down for generations, you know? Like, right. Who invented using citronella? We have no clue. There's a ton of different natural remedies that, you know, grandmas have been using for hundreds of years.
Tea tree oil has been around for, since the dawn of man. I don't, you know, who
since
came up with...
Since the tea tree was discovered,
And it's been used for so many different things. You do have to be careful of tea tree oil, though. Because if you buy it and it's in a container, you have to, number one, make sure that it's going to be able to hold tea tree oil for the duration. Some of these containers melt because tea tree oil is a solvent.
Well, you should use a glass.
Glass is my recommended container.
And it should be either blue or brown so the sunlight doesn't get out.
I once bought a gallon of tea tree oil in a plastic container. And it was fine for a while. And I had, a little bit left over. And it just sat under the kitchen sink for a while. And then one day I went under the kitchen sink and the thing had just sort of melted.
Wow. I didn't know it did that.
Yeah.
And especially if it's concentrated. Also, Sarah, I wanted to tell you that peppermint oil is really good. And just peppermint plants in general are really good for keeping away spiders and mice.
Yes.
So any sort of rodents like the peppermint. So that's a nice little handy trick.
Shampoo and peppermint soap.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And you know what? What I wanted to say about these ingredients is that they're only, like, for example, I bought a Hungarian pickle, and then it only listed, like, But here's the thing, they only listed water, vinegar, and salt, the basic ingredients, and then they said Hungarian spice, but that was the secret part of that. It was like, what is a Hungarian spice? They don't want you to know what
Captain
it is.
Captain's furiously Googling Hungarian pickle.
No, I'm just putting what she said into the notes.
Oh.
Yeah, but so here's the thing is that you could have all natural proprietary products, but you only have to list one third or half the ingredient, and all the other ones you could keep it a secret.
Well, and they have keywords too, right? So they'll say natural flavoring. What is natural flavoring? Yeah. You know, that could mean anything.
Well, some of that is a trade secret, right? If they tell you all the ingredients.
Yeah.
Right. There's no incentive for you to buy.
Or they'll say spices.
Right.
You know, but what are spices?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly. I bought a meat spice from the Middle Eastern store.
Okay.
And then they said, it listed like a cumin, three ingredients. And after that, it said Middle Eastern spices. What does that mean? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But that's how
what it does you is you go back to them to buy. Right, absent intellectual property, right, since we don't believe in that stuff, right, trade secrets are still a thing. They don't have to tell you everything.
Yeah, so I guess that's how they protect it. Even though they're all natural ingredients,
right.
I mean, you could buy all those separately by yourself, but the combination of it, you could keep half of it a secret.
You got to pay for it.
And that's your copyright.
Right, well, it's not a copyright, but it's a trade secret. Even restaurants, right, if you have an allergy and you go to the restaurants, you're like, I want to know what's in the soup.
Right.
Right. They won't tell you what's in the soup. They'll find out what your allergy is and tell you if that's in the soup.
Right.
Like, no, there's no peanuts or peanut whatever's in the soup. You are safe.
Yeah. When I was a waitress, I had a customer who had a giant list of allergies. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring out the whole box of whatever, the salad dressing or whatever. And I'm like, you can look through it and tell me if you can have this or not. Because I don't want to be responsible for, you know, you blaming me if I gave you something that you're allergic
to. That or you just bring out like one noodle.
But that was a manufactured salad dressing though, right? Not a homemade salad dressing that they made in the back.
So restaurants where we made salad dressings in the back, I remember there was this one that I loved. It was some sort of like chickpea something or like lemon tahini dressing, and I was obsessed with it. And the head chef was like, "Listen, I like you, so I'm gonna give you the recipe to the lemon tahini dressing. Don't tell anybody." And of course, now I'm going to national. Telling everybody. I won't say the restaurant name or whatever, but I still have that recipe and I can make it. So.
Well, you can say the restaurant name. They give you the restaurant name. You're not trying to get him in trouble.
No, whatever.
Sarah, anything else tonight?
But if it's that good,
I just want to bring up something kind of related to it about like Richard. He bought this insurance that I think a small insurance company had it. It's to protect a home. In other words, if he was to die, that insurance would pay off his house, and it would go to his nephew or niece, or whoever, or daughter or grandkids or whoever you wanted to go to. But it's a expanded upon a death insurance. They have something like that. But like another big insurance company like Omaha or something like that, they never heard of anything like that. So it's like a death insurance that specifically covers for the real estate or your home, the home that you own.
Mm-hmm.
But you think I'm trying to compare it like copyright. Like, can they kind of giant, like other companies, like copy that and then make money off of it? And can they take them to court or can they get sued for taking their idea?
I don't think they can copyright the idea of insurance.
Correct.
Like really, they don't have a monopoly over this. We'll pay off your home insurance.
Right.
That's such a broad concept. Usually copyrights and stuff like that are like for music or something very specific. Right. Like, oh, I have this invention.
I'm the first guy who discovered this thing, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
I remember the perfume, but cologne commercials from like the 90s.
Okay.
Right. There are thousands of patents at the patent office, but you can't patent a scent. Bad for Calvin. Good for you. And it was a U brand, like, knockoff Calvin Klein.
So I use, and I can't remember what it's called, but I love
Sex Panther
company.
From Odeon. It's illegal in nine countries.
I use this perfume company where you can get different, like, knockoff name brand perfumes, and it just tells you, like, the top notes, and it gives you a description of the perfume, and I like it better because I can be like, oh, I like these scents. This is what I want to smell like.
Yeah.
Because when I think of, I can't think of a whatever, Chanel number 5. I don't know what that smells like off the top of my head without someone describing it to me.
Yeah.
Am I going to spend $100 on this perfume that I don't even know what it smells like?
Right, yeah.
Or I can just go to this website, gives me a description of it, comparable to Chanel number 5, and I'll know I like it.
This is where Smell-O-Vision would come in handy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting back to this article about turn up your favorite song to improve medication efficacy. This is March 22nd, 2023, from Michigan State University. While listening to a favorite song is a known mood booster, researchers have discovered that music listening interventions also can make medicines more effective.
Ooh.
And before I go on, I just want to say, I think the next time, I'm like in a bar and I see a good-looking lady, I think I'm going to ask her if she's ever done a Hungarian pickle.
She might take that the wrong way.
Yep.
I mean, duh. Just it's a pickup line.
Is that a pickup line?
It just sounds like a euphemism. I'm inventing a new pickup line using Sarah's commentary from the show.
So you use that. You use that pickup line and then get back to us next week and let us know how it went.
Get video of it. Go with a buddy. So have you ever had a Hungarian pickle?
You ever seen Clerks 2?
Yes.
There's a bit where they're Wanda Sykes and I can't remember the other dude's name. They're trying to get their order from the burger joint or whatever. And the workers call the other workers a name. And the guy's like, she's like, well, what's that? And he's like, oh, these white people are into some kinky stuff. Do you want to do one of those? It's like a Hungarian pickle. That's kind of the thing that was running through my head. Like, I'll do a Hungarian pickle with you. Do you want to do a Hungarian pickle? You know? And like nobody even knows what that is, right?
Just like the donkey show.
Pickle effer. Anyway, while listening to a favorite song, we already talked about that. Music listening interventions are like over-the-counter medications, said Jason Kiernan, an assistant professor from the College of Nursing. You don't need a doctor to prescribe them. I mean, okay. I mean, the Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass has been prescribing music all of his life.
Typical would like you to have a doctor prescribe some particular musics.
She would, yes. While previous research studies have used music listening interventions as a tool to treat pain and anxiety, Kiernan took a novel approach by studying the effects of music listening interventions on chemotherapy-induced nausea. Okay. Pain and anxiety are both neurological phenomena and are interpreted in the brain as a state, Kiernan said. Chemotherapy-induced nausea is not a stomach condition. It is a neurological one. The small pilot study included 12 patients undergoing chemotherapy treatment who agreed to listen to their favorite music for 30 minutes each time they needed to take their as-needed anti-nausea medication. They repeated the music intervention any time nausea occurred over the 5 days beyond their chemotherapy treatment. The patients in the study provided a total of 64 events. When we listened to music, our brains fire all kinds of neurons, Kiernan said. This is true. Before we go on with the article, I just have this thing in my head now of, like, Pepto-Bismol is going to start putting, like, speakers in their bottles. So, yeah. Like, when you got to take the thing, it's like music is playing, too.
I also want to argue that I don't know if this is making the medication work better or if it's something else. Because when I think of, like, oh, antidepressants, you know, I've never taken antidepressants, but when I'm sad or when I'm feeling a certain thing, I'm going to listen to a specific kind of music to make me feel better. So I've been using music as an antidepressant my whole life.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If I was nauseous, maybe it's like more of a distraction. Like, oh, I'm going to listen to, you know, Slayer or Megadeth, and that's going to make me feel better no matter what my ailment is. It's more of a distraction. I even use it in the car on my way home when I'm about to fall asleep behind the wheel because I'm so tired after working night shift. I listen to really loud death metal music, and that keeps me awake.
Yeah. It makes you drive faster, too, doesn't it?
Sure does. I have that issue anyways, so.
So, for me, I mean, like, I think I'd be dead without music. I have music going on in my house most of the time. Ironically, I have stopped listening to music in my vehicle very often, right? And by, like, once a week or something, I'll have the music going in the car. Only because I've never driven a used car. All my cars are used, and I want to hear what's going on with the car and make sure I don't have something to address.
Oh, I do the opposite. If I hear something I don't like, I just turn the music up. No, that's fine.
I've become proactive with repairing my car instead of reactive. So if I hear something going on, and I know... here in New Hampshire, they make you get these inspections every year.
Yeah.
That forces you to take your car to an automotive repair shop. And, of course, that... What it does is it gives the repair shop an opportunity to strong-arm you into paying for a repair you probably don't need. So when I go and I do this, I'm prepared with a repair that I might already need somebody to look at, right? So I'll get the thing done, and I'll have them look at whatever's making a rumble or a weird noise, or it's pulling to the right, whatever it is. I'll be like, hey, can you... And so then instead of them sort of strong-arming me into some repair I don't need, I'm actually giving them a repair that I might need or a symptom for them to look at so that it's my choice instead of theirs.
So
my little way of sort of getting around that.
When I was still in Hawaii, they also do the safety inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an older car, right, that was falling apart, and the right side passenger mirror had some tape on it to hold the mirror where I needed it.
Sounds like a repair to me.
So I could see out that side of the car.
Yep. Yeah,
and I took it to the place to get it inspected, and the guy said, hey, you can't have tape on the mirror.
Why not?
Because it doesn't pass inspection.
So?
Right.
Well,
so
the state says
it works.
The
states, yeah.
You're right. The state says. But it goes, but if you don't have a mirror, I can pass you. And I go, so let me get this straight. If there's no mirror on there, I pass the inspection. But if I have tape to hold the mirror in place, he doesn't pass. And he goes, yep. And I kicked the mirror off right in front of him. I just booted it like halfway down the parking lot.
That's
I went,
hilarious.
There you go.
Oh, now, I wish there was video.
Now, the irony is, I took it back the next year to get my next year's inspection. He goes, you got to put a mirror on this side. I'm like, do you remember me? He's like, now, I'm the guy that kicked the mirror off. He's like, oh, yeah, I do kind of recall that. I'm like, how can you forget?
Yeah.
Son of a...
Yeah, how many people are doing that?
And so right. What, did he pass you?
No. He said, well, the rules have changed.
Of course they have.
Well, and so that was the last time I got a safety inspection. Well, I drove without it for a few years.
Yeah.
Circling back to this article, now, just as a guy, you know, rock and roll musician type, I have known forever that music improves your drugs. Drugs maybe improve your music. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I know that music...
Symbiotic.
Music has done many awesome things for my life, and I credit it with me being alive today. As opposed to some other people who credit it with, like, oh, you made my kid commit suicide. I'm saying, no, your kid was seeking music as a form of therapy, and you failed to recognize they had a problem. At any rate, while Kiernan did see a reduction in the ratings of patients' nausea severity and their distress, he cautions that it's difficult to isolate whether it was the gradual release of the medication doing its job or the increased benefit of the music. I contend that just having these patients listen to music may calm their nausea.
Absolutely.
Depending on the type of music and if it's their favorite or, you know, whatever.
Depending on the type of music.
Right.
Calming music.
I mean, I
lullabies.
I have,
soothing.
Well, not always.
Smooth jazz.
I have patients come to me all the time where they're having really bad anxiety, and they're like, man, if I could just have, like, my phone or a CD player or something to be able to listen to music,
mm-hmm.
I would be able to take my mind off of whatever it's on right now, and that would be so much more helpful for them rather than me giving them a Clonidine or a Vistrol, which are common anti-anxiety meds. Some of these people don't even want the medication. They're like, we want to listen to music,
right.
You know?
What were those things? A Clonidine and a what?
Vistrol.
Those are different than a Hungarian pickle, right?
Yeah, they're... Yeah.
So, okay. All right, you don't have to tell me where you work, but what environment is this where you would not be allowed to allow them to listen to music?
Sometimes people, like, if they're in, like, a program, like detox or something like that, if they're in, like, a voluntary program of sorts, sometimes they'll restrict, like, they won't be able to have their cell phones or even if somebody was in recovering for, like, an eating disorder or something like that, they might not want them to have access to, like, the internet and things that might not be...
Sure, but a radio... Right, like a battery-operated radio?
So sometimes, or in jails, like nurses that work in prisons, maybe, if the certain inmates might not have access to things like that.
Okay. Because after all, music soothes even the savage beast.
I mean, if they wanted to calm people down in jail, right, like give them the music and give them some drugs.
Yeah, I mean, so music can also be weaponized, right? So, for example, Waco. Right, but before they killed everybody, they brought in these big old loudspeakers. They made sure that they were tuned to a very narrow set of frequencies, meaning not a lot of bass, a whole lot of mid-range and high-end, because those are the most annoying. They focused on the 1K range of frequencies, which are the most audible to humans. Everything that rings, all of your telephones, your cell phones, your wireless phones, those all ring around the 1K range because that's the most audible. That's why you can kind of hear the phone when you're way out in the backyard. You're like, did the phone just
ring? Or when it's not even ringing.
Yeah, because it carries that far. So anyway, they weaponized it against these people, and they just cranked it up and played, I don't even know, horrible music over and over again at incredibly loud volumes. Government has already experimented with something that I refer to as the brown note. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And so this is big amplifiers with some big subwoofers that are subsonic. That means humans can't hear it. And they will play low frequencies at a high enough amplitude that it causes your bowels to malfunction.
Wow.
This is called the brownout. We're out of time. Thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you, Richie Rich. Thank you, Nikki, for...
Way to wrap the number two story in there.
The number two story is ongoing. If you missed any part of the show, find us over at freetalklive.com at the archives. Thanks and peace.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Peace.
extend your life with Extendo.